Good morning, Christ Church. Thank you so much for being here with us today. We are so excited to see faces, to be with you guys, to worship together. Join us. Stand and sing with us.
Falls and won't breathe it. 'Cause the God I serve knows only how to triumph. Oh, my God will never fail. No, my God will never fail. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. Oh, yeah. There's power in the mighty name of Jesus. Every war he wages, he will win. And I'm not backing down from any giants, 'cause I know how this story ends.
Sing that again.
Yes, I know how this story ends. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. Oh. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good.
Come on, church.
You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. Yeah. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord.
Declare it.
I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord.
are new here or you've been here a little while and haven't connected with us, we would love for you to fill out a connection card. We'd love to serve you better and get to know you. Hey, my husband and I have been talking a lot over the past couple of months about the things that have been so easy to take for granted. Just the simple act of being able to come to church and see the people we love week in and week out. Also, we've been talking about things as simple as being able to go to the sink and wash your hands. We are going to be partnering with the 2100 Men's Shelter in Cleveland and help with hygiene kits. If you'd love to help us serve in that capacity, you can check out the app or the website and see what kind of things we're looking for in the kits and when and where to drop them off. Also, if this church has been a blessing to you, if these sermons have been helpful, can you take a minute and just share? Share on Facebook, text and invite a friend to watch online. There are two ways to give. The first is our Christ Church Ohio app, and the second is our Christ Church Ohio website. We love you guys. Enjoy the service.
Within my heart is a melody that was not taught. In the darkest night, it still goes on. The anthem of my God within my heart is a treasure that cannot be bought. When all else is faded, it will not. The presence of my God, oh, magnify the Lord. Let us exalt his name together. No one beside you, Lord. Honor and praise are yours forever. Before your throne, in the mystery that can be known, lives the majesty that's yours alone. How glorious you are, you are the one who redeems the wrong that I have done, reigning over all the days to come. How thank you.
desires of our heart. And I ask this in Jesus' name, amen. So I want to just begin by reading this scripture to you, because it's so good, and then we'll talk about it. So we've been talking about this idea of frustration and agitation, and Psalm 37 begins this way. It says, "Fret not yourself because of evildoers." And every week I've told you other translations say, "Don't be agitated." Well, you tell the person that you are sitting with right now to not be agitated. You tell them that? You think they listen to you? Sometimes it's not as simple as that. And it goes on, "Be not envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb." And then here's kind of the application. "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness." And that's where we left off last week. We talked about feeding faithfulness and being planted where God called us. But today, this is our challenge. Delight yourself in the Lord. Say that with me. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And that's what we're going to focus on today. What does it mean to delight ourselves in the Lord? And there's three parts of this I want to talk about. I want to talk about desires and the role they play in our lives. Then I want to talk about how we usually try to find happiness. And then I want to talk about what God tells us to do on that path. Now, when I was thinking about this, it kind of reminded me that, you know, sometimes in life, I have to put things together. You know, like we'll buy something from IKEA, or, you know, Emery, our daughter, gets a new toy and it needs, put together. And so I'll get out my tool belt, put it on, you know, hammer, screwdriver, tape measure, duct tape. When all goes wrong, use duct tape. I'll use, anybody else like that? All right, seeing if anybody else is with me on that online. doesn't look like it. And many of you probably know that, you know, no one's going to accuse me of being super handy or a great carpenter. I know there's great carpenters and handymen in the church, just, you know, I'm not one of them. But so there always comes a point where I'm putting something together and I'm like getting like 75% done, and then I look at it and I realize I forgot a piece. Anybody with me on that? You can be honest today. All right, thank you. And I get a piece, or I put something on backwards. You ever been there? And then you hit that moment and you're like, I've got to take apart everything I've done for this to be right. And I was annoyed at the beginning of this project because I didn't want to do it in the first place. And now I'm even more annoyed. And then I'm annoyed because I can't blame it on anyone because I did it. So now my annoyance has just tripled. And I realize if it's going to be done right and if it's going to work like it should, I have to take it apart to put it back together. You with me on that? And as I thought about that, I feel that that is a good metaphor. What God, I think, is doing in my life during this time, and maybe many of our lives, if you feel like you're coming apart a little bit, emotionally, spiritually, you know, in any way, whatever category, physically, you know, whatever it is, I understand that. And that's a very uncomfortable and frustrating feeling and experience. But I want to suggest today that I believe that this time some parts of our lives and our soul are coming apart so that God can put them together the way they need to be. Does that make sense? And I want to see this moment in our lives, even though it's not comfortable and it may not be fun and it might not be what we've chosen, I want to see it as one of the most important moments in our life, because how we respond to frustration and to this coming apart process is so much more important than how we respond when everything's together in life the way we want it. You with me on this, church? And so I want you to see this as an opportunity from God to shift us and to change us in some important ways. And so this text, I think, gives us some guidance on that. So let's talk about this first part. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And so what do we learn from that? Well, let's first talk about this thing of desires. Whether you and I realize it or not, our life is being driven by our deepest desires. We might not be aware of it. We might not consciously think about that every day. But here's one thing that I know about each and every one of us. There are deep desires in our lives that actually drive everything we do, how we relate to other people, how we spend our time, how we spend our money. There are deep desires in the human heart that all of us are trying to organize our life around to fix and to heal and to fulfill. You with me on that? And the scriptures say, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will fulfill the desires of your heart. In other words, the scriptures say, I know there's deep desires in you, but I want to show you the path to fulfilling them. And that is a really profound idea, because many times, when sometimes people look at Christianity from the outside, they see it as a place where your desires are crushed. And I don't know if you've ever felt this way, but there have been times in my life where I have maybe taken a step back from God because I thought, if I fully commit to him, if I give my life to him, will I be able to have the desires of my heart fulfilled? But what I want you to see today, that Christianity is not a place where the desires of our heart get crushed. It's a place where they get fulfilled. It's a place where we learn the right way for them to get fulfilled, but they get fulfilled nonetheless. You with me on this? And this is such an important thing. That God does not want to crush the needs and desires of your heart. He wants to lead you to where real fulfillment is. And that's what the psalmist is helping us to try to see. And so maybe some of us are coming apart because we're trying to get those desires fulfilled, but we're going down the wrong path. And the Lord is saying, I love you too much to let you keep going down this path. That is a dead end. And I want to show you the path where your heart can be fulfilled, because these desires are real and powerful. C.S. Lewis has a really powerful quote. I want to read it to you this morning. C.S. Lewis is a great author from England, and he wrote a lot of books and said a lot of smart stuff, and this is one of those. He said, creatures are not born with desires unless satisfaction for those desires exist. He says, if I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that what I was made for another world. And haven't we all at different times in our life had that experience? There's a hunger, there's a craving, there's an emptiness. And maybe many of us, we could tell about times in our life where we tried to fulfill it this way, we tried to fulfill it that way, and yet no matter what we did, it was still there. And C.S. Lewis says, actually, those desires are from God. And what they're meant to do is to show you that you're more than just a biological mass of cells. That you and I are made for God. We're made for eternity. We're made for something bigger than this world. And we can never live and be who we're meant to be without finding that connection through him. He says, we're made for another world. If none of my earthly pleasures satisfy it, that does not prove that the universe is a fraud. It just means I'm made for God. And today I want you to know, if you're watching this and you're frustrated at unfulfillment in your life, or you feel exhausted in trying to find well-being and hope and purpose and a real happiness that's not superficial and lasts beyond a fun experience, then this is the perfect opportunity to look and to reconnect with God, who can fulfill those desires in a way no one else and nothing can. So that's what the psalmist is saying. He's saying, I know you have desires in your heart. I know it. They're real. I'm not saying that you shouldn't have them. But he is saying, I want to show you the path to those being fulfilled. And so before we talk about the path, let me just spend a minute and talk about how we miss the path. Because all of us, whether we realize it or not, we have our own theory on happiness that we're trying to live out in our lives. Here, let me illustrate this for you. When Allie and I first got married, I remember it was kind of probably our first couple months into marriage, and we were making the bed, you know, and I saw this ratty, dirty, nasty blanket on there. It had holes everywhere. You know, it was a very small blanket, like maybe a little bigger than a towel. And I looked at it and I said, "Allie, what is that thing doing here? Like, we need to throw that out. You want me just to throw it in, like, burn it or something? Like, I think this thing, you know, we're going to get sick or something from it." And Allie looked horrified. And she said, "Don't you dare. That's my blanket." She said, "It's the only blanket that keeps me warm." And I said, "Babe, that thing's not keeping anybody warm. It's got more holes than fabric." And then she began to tell me the story. She said, "I've had that since I was a baby. And I love that, and I keep it, you know, every bed that I've ever been in, it's gone with me. And guess what? It's staying here. The blankie can stay. You can go." So guess what's still in our bed to this day? Yeah. And then when that happened, I thought, that's interesting. Like, how do you become so connected to something like that? Because I didn't have a blankie growing up. Maybe I got robbed or something. I don't know. And now, fast forward, I have a year-and-a-half-year-old daughter, Emery. Somebody bought her a blankie. Guess what? This girl loves her blankie. It's a real soft one, you know, like just that crazy soft fabric. You know what I'm saying? You guys with me on that? And she loves to just put her face in it, and she literally will just kind of do that and go, "Ah." Like, it just, like, just joy exudes out of her when her blankets. And many mornings she'll wake up, I'll pick her up out of her crib, and Allie has taught her sign language. So if you know sign language, this is the blankie sign. If you didn't know, I just taught you something today. So you're welcome for that. And she'll get up in the morning many times and she'll start doing that. She just immediately wants it. When she's freaking out or breaking down, guess what we say? "You want your blankie?" And she'll, "Blankie." And she'll get it, and she'll just be a little bit happier. It's really cute. I could just keep going on with this, but I see you're getting bored with it. Anybody online, are you bored with that yet? Or can I keep talking about her? But you know what? What I think is, we all have that go-to thing that is our foundation of happiness. See, for us, whenever Emery, you know, to make things better, we give her a blanket. When things are going bad, we give it to her to comfort her. And all of us, through life, we all have bought into, there's something that's going to make me happy. We all have our blankie of some kind. Now, it gets a little more sophisticated as we get older, but all of us have a pillar of happiness in our life where we say, if I have this thing, I can be happy. The desires of my heart can be fulfilled. And it can be different for all of us. It can change at different seasons of our life. But right now, I want you to think, and I want you to just look into your own heart and say, you know, what is my pillar, my foundation of happiness? That I've been telling myself, if I have this, if this happens, then I'll really be fulfilled. I'll really be okay. I'll really be happy. And it can be anything. For some of us, it might be the pillar of our happiness might be the influence of the political party that we favor. Oh, yeah. You know, hey, if that's you, we're going to pray for you, because that's a miserable, right? Then you ride the roller coaster of the news. You think I'm joking about this, church? For some of us, that might be the pillar of happiness. And it's not working. We're miserable because things are up and down. The people we favor and we like, they come in and out. It's a bad pillar. For some of us, it might be just kind of money in the bank or you know, good retirement or investments, having just that financial stability. And so when we have that, we can just kind of go, oh, okay, it's going to be okay. I've got this financial piece of my life taken care of. For some of us, it could be an approval of a person. That our life well-being hinges on the approval of someone. If they're happy with us, we're happy. If they're unhappy with us, we're distraught. And it's the foundation of our happiness. I'm not saying that there isn't all kinds of things you find happiness in, but I'm saying, what is the cornerstone? What's the thing that we ultimately really comfort ourselves with? What's the thing that we might know better, but what our heart says, no, this is it. This is it. Could be just success, achievement of some kind. If I reach this level in my career, if my business grows to here, if I'm able to reach this position, then I'll know that I have a good life, that I lived a good life, and I can be happy. Now, here's what I would say to you today. This is where we all go wrong. We pick the wrong cornerstone. We pick the wrong pillar. We pick the wrong blankie, if you will. Because what does the psalmist say? He says, here is the path. Delight yourself in the Lord. That's the path. That's the foundation. That's the pillar. Delight yourself in your career. Nope. Doesn't mean you can't enjoy your career, right? Doesn't mean you should be happy if things go well, and it's okay to be upset when they don't. But he's saying it's not the pillar. Delight yourself in the approval of that person. Nope. Pastor, I'll be happy once I get married. Once my relationship status changes on Facebook, I'll be happy. Well, guess what? Then you're married, you're like, It's good. Not everything happened that I hoped. And then you're like, well, you know, once we get established, once we kind of build a home, you know, we have the place that we want to live, and then I'll be happy. Then you get that. Great, the furnace broke. Air conditioning's out. It's 200 degrees. It's been a hot summer. Then you're like, no, I'll be happy. I'll be happy when we have a baby. I'll be happy when the baby grows up. That's not funny, Pastor. Here's what my point is. We can get caught in that rat race. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't find joy in all those things. Absolutely. And I'm not even saying you shouldn't want all those things. But what I do want to look at is the wisdom of what this psalm says. Delight yourself in the Lord. All those things are great. But you know what? The foundation of my happiness is Jesus Christ, is his presence, is my relationship with him. Some of those things, you know, there's going to be ups and downs in my career. There's going to be ups and downs in my family. There's going to be ups and downs in the world around us. Don't we know that? Welcome to 2020. Lots of downs. But you know what? I can still delight myself in the Lord through all of that. And what is the promise of it? Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. When I keep going back to him, when I keep connecting to him, when I keep growing that relationship, then there is a strength and stability of meaning in my life that can guide me through all these things. So let me just give you four questions to ask yourself. To see if you're delighting yourself in the Lord. And these are questions that I constantly try to use to put myself back into that frame of mind. Because even if you know God is the right answer, you know, even if you know he's the right path, if you're like me, you'll still wander from it. Anybody else like that? You know that you got to fix your heart on Christ, but you still get caught up in these other things. You still begin to buy into that they're the real path. And so these are the questions that I ask myself to help me get back on it, and I hope that they're helpful to you. Number one, the question that I ask is, who do I want to be like? See, I think it's good to have role models in life. I think it's good to have heroes in life. I think it's good to have people that you look up to and you're like, man, I would love to emulate some of those qualities. I think that's a really healthy thing. But one of the things that helps me is that when I step back and I think, you know, the most important thing is I want to become more like Christ. See, I believe that when we become followers of Jesus, that's the commitment that we make. We say, Jesus, I think you got it right. I think you're really smart. I think you're really perfect. I think you're really good. And when I make that commitment to be a follower of Jesus, what I'm saying is I'm going to try to live my life as you want me to, as if you were in my shoes in this life. I'm going to try and treat people like you would treat them. I'm going to try and respond to them in the way that you would respond. I'm going to try and use my time the way that I think you would want me to use it. And so one of the things that helps me to delight myself in the Lord is to just refix my heart and say, Chet, who do you want to be like most? Are you trying to be like this person or that person, or are you trying to be like Christ? Here's the second question. Who do you want to be around? I know there's all people that we love being around, and that's great, man. I hope there's a lot of people in your life that when you see them, it adds well-being to you. It brings joy. But at the end of the day, I want to be so hungry for God's presence in my life that is the person I want to be around the most. You with me on this? I want to remind myself that, man, it's great to have all kinds of relationships, but at the end of the day, I want to be where God is. I want to be in the place in my life where the Lord is calling. I want to follow his voice, and I want to be around him. Because when everything else fails around me, what I've learned is he will never fail me. So when everything else kind of goes down the tubes, if I'm around him, it's good. I can still have delight. I can still be happy. I can have strength to respond to the difficulty around me. And you know, to be honest, the times in my life where I am most miserable are the times where I drift away from his presence. And in the moment, for whatever reasons, it makes sense. But I always regret it, and I feel the deep emptiness of me not being where he is. So I want to be around the Lord. I want him to be at work in my life and in your life. And so who do you want to be around this morning? Let me give you two more questions to this. I got to remind myself what the third one is. It's coming. Who do I want to please? At the end of the day, who are you living your life for? See, I think it's so easy to get caught up in the expectations of others and the expectations that we put on ourselves. But today, if we're going to delight ourselves in the Lord, we have to say, I'm going to try to please Christ above everything. And then the last one, what brings you ultimate comfort in hard times? And where do you go in good times? And here's what I mean by this. There is a moment in the Gospels where Jesus is talking to the disciples, and they have these amazingly good things happen. And they're like, Jesus, we're doing all kinds of great things in your name. We're changing people's lives. It's absolutely amazing. And Jesus says, man, that's great. But here's what you should really rejoice in. Rejoice that your names are written in the book of life. And so at their highest moment, Jesus says, yeah, that's cool. But don't delight in that moment with everything that you have. Delight that your name is written in the book of life. And today I want you to look at the successes and the great things that have happened in your life. And yes, celebrate them. But then step back from that moment and say, but Lord, thank you most of all that I'm your son. Thank you most of all that I'm your daughter. Thank you most of all that you have forgiven me, that I get to be with you. And Lord, yeah, this is great, but you know what is the greatest? Is that my name is written in the book of life. Because I want to train my heart not to fixate on what is in this world, but to fixate on the world that we are created for, to fixate on Jesus Christ. And then, church, when things go really, really bad, where do you find your comfort? For me, I like to find it in fast food. Amen. I wish I was joking on that. But we all have strategies to comfort ourselves. You know, some of us maybe like the escape-minded. We can go to Netflix and just binge. We can sleep. I notice when I get really stressed, I sleep a lot because it's like an escape mechanism. But when things get really hard, I want to delight myself in the Lord. I want to go back to this safe place that says, you know what, Lord, you didn't guarantee me an easy life. Because guess what? By the way, he's not guaranteed any of us an easy life. But he has guaranteed us a life where he is always with us. And a life where all that has been meant for evil will be turned for good. A life that through all of this, his good purpose will still stand at the end of the day, and we will honor him. And I want to find comfort in that. I want to delight myself in the Lord, especially when things are really tough. So here's my challenge to you this morning. I want you just to take a moment as we pray, as we wrap up today, and I want you to just think about those things that you have tried to use as your means of happiness, whether it's people or things or position or money or whatever. And I want you just to take a moment, and I want you just to say to the Lord, Lord, I'm sorry for thinking that that thing can fulfill me, because I know it's only you that can. And I want you just to spend a moment and just say to God, if you feel like you've gone down the wrong path, if you feel like maybe your heart's fixated, and I want you to say, Lord, I'm sorry. And then I want you to say, Lord, would you help me to be able to delight in you? Would you teach me that? Lord, would you fulfill the desires of my heart in your way, in your time, on your path? You know, when we look at the life of Jesus in the Gospels, one thing that you'll notice, in fact, Isaiah 53, a very powerful scripture, says he was a man of sorrows and a man acquainted with grief. And I'll be honest, I've never liked that verse. Because when I think of Jesus, I want to think of him as, you know, kind of bubbly and happy all the time. And, you know, lighting up a room. But the scriptures say, no, he was a man that lived with a broken heart all the time. And when you think about it, it makes perfect sense, doesn't it? All the time. Here is God in the flesh hanging out with us. That's a letdown. That's a recipe for frustration, right? He sees us perfectly, everything that's wrong with us, all our faults. And so Jesus, all the time, he couldn't help but see the brokenness of everything around him. And even when he would tell him the right thing to think or do or say, many times people would get mad at him for it. I guess it makes sense that he was a man acquainted with sorrows and a man who bore a lot of grief. But here's what I also know about the story, that he lived allowing his heart to be broken, then allowing his spirit to be broken, then allowing his body to be broken. Why? So that your heart could be fulfilled. Jesus lived this life and willingly stepped into this brokenness, stepped into this emptiness, emptied himself of the desires of his heart, so that the desires of your heart could always be filled in him, through him, by him, because of him. And so today, I just want to call you to that great Savior. If your heart is empty, if you've tried a lot of things and you're like, man, I know it. I know what you're saying is true. I want you to pray with me. Would you just bow your head right now? And I want you to open your heart in a way you've never opened it to God. And I want you to trust him in this moment and pray this with me. Dear Lord Jesus, Father, I'm sorry. I've tried so many different ways to be fulfilled, to find happiness, to take control of my life. And Father, it's all sinking sand. It's all a dead end. It's all left me unfulfilled. And today, Lord, I just want to acknowledge that you are the only one that can fulfill the needs of my life. Lord, I need forgiveness. I'm a sinner. I've messed up. I can't work my way to you. I can't earn it. And I want to receive the gift of salvation today. Would you forgive my sin? Would you bring me into your presence? Would you, Lord, through your death and resurrection, make me right in your sight? And today, Lord, I want to commit to learning how to delight myself in you and trusting that you will fulfill the desires of my heart. Lord Jesus, I commit to you and I ask for your help in all this. And we ask it through your great name. Amen.
It's not this building, but you and I, we are the church. As you go out this week, show grace, show love, be kind. God bless you. Have a wonderful week.